I've talked a lot about the fact that I think that the police departments in both Oregon and Washington have been handcuffed by their political masters. And I would imagine that at least in Washington State, Senate Republican leader John Braun agrees with me that Washington State has done the same from Olympia as well as from city councils and county commissioners, commissions. Senator, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
So are we going to see this problem fixed? Because it seems as though some of your Democrat colleagues have even said these so-called reforms that we just finished seeing them do, which a lot of us disagreed with when they were done, even the Democrats are acknowledging these have turned out to be a bit of a disaster, aren't they?
They are, and that's what's so frustrating about it, Lars, is we entered the session this year with many Democrats saying that we got it wrong, that these bills that were intended to address some of the tragedy we saw that resulted in the protests and riots in 2020, that they actually created more tragedy. And so we were encouraged that they would work with us to fix some of these, what I call anti-police bills that were passed in 2021. Disappointingly, that wasn't the case overall, and we got a few things fixed. I'm happy to talk about that. But by and large, what little we got done was done primarily with Republican votes and over sometimes the vehement objections of members of the majority Democratic caucus in Washington. It's really startling that they would see the huge increases in crime at all levels and across the state and not be more compelled to fix the problems they created in 2021.
Now, so when they made this, when they went to you and said, look, we admit this has turned out to be a disaster, I'm sure they don't use that language, but it has been a disaster. Were they just doing that so that they could say, you see, we've admitted there's a problem, but not intending to actually fix it? Or did they realize how much you're going to have to undo of their reforms to actually make a difference? And when they realized that, they said, no, we're not going to do this. So was this a PR move by your colleagues on the Democrat side of the aisle, or was it heartfelt until they realized how much they were going to have to undo of what they had just done a year ago?
No, I think there are some of them who really understood that they got it wrong and they wanted to fix them. The challenge is there's more in their caucus, and their caucuses are bitterly divided on this issue that simply are resistance to changing anything. They still believe, in spite of all the evidence, in spite of all the tragedy, in spite of the increase in crime, that they got it right. They're wrong, but there's a struggle. So I think for the most part, the few Democrats that said we need to fix this, I think they were genuine. They just couldn't get past their party and couldn't get past the ideologues that are unwilling to recognize just how much they have screwed this up.
Well, I guess what I wonder then is, are they willing to take the blame that the public is going to heap on them, rightfully so, when the public goes to the polls and votes? Are they willing to take the heat that's going to come from that? Or do they just think, no, the public won't make the connection that the changes we made and handcuffing the police, that they are what is causing a lot of this increase in crime? Are they just whistling past the graveyard thinking, oh, they're not going to blame us for that. They're going to reelect us. And I want to ask you, do you think that Democrat voters are going to actually make the connection and say, you've hurt us by doing this, and we're going to take it out on you in November?
Yeah, I think there are some who are either indifferent or so dug into their ideology that they don't believe. And of course, they've been in power for so long in our state that they are, to a certain extent, you know, not worried about the voters, not like they should be. They're not listening to the voters and ignoring the increase in crimes. I have to be careful on this call since it was arranged by legislative resources. I can't talk about elections, but I believe, based on everything I hear, and I'm traveling all over the state every week, that people are pretty upset about this. And frankly, I would say what the Democrats have done is they've left the middle wide open, and Republicans have an opportunity to step in and say, look, we're not against reforms. We want to be common sense. We want to be reasonable, and we want to make sure we do them in a way to keep our families and our communities safe. And then we're a reasonable option. And then I think hopefully the voters will make good choices next November.
Well, so tell me, Senator Braun, would you mind giving my audience a few of the practical examples of the changes they made? Because last year, when this was about to happen, I remember spending an entire segment reading a letter from my local county sheriff, saying, if you pass these things, this is what it's going to do to law enforcement. And it turns out he was right. I thought he was right at the time I read the letter. I said, it makes sense that this is what's going to happen. And he warned everybody, don't do this. But you know, it was done anyway. Can you give us some practical examples of how this has changed the landscape for the criminals and for the honest, law-abiding citizens who want to be protected from the criminals?
Yeah, I think there's a couple. I'll give you a couple, and one that thankfully was fixed. It was so obvious, is they actually wrote the law in such a way that it prevented law enforcement officers from going with behavioral health, mental health service providers when they have an individual who's having difficulty. So that it basically said, the behavioral health folks for years have worked collaboratively and compassionately with law enforcement when they have a mental health issue to show up. Law enforcement goes along to make sure the providers are safe and the individuals are safe. And the law essentially said, no, you can't do that unless a crime's been committed. So they're literally waiting sidelined until a crime's been committed. Thankfully, with mostly Republican votes, this is a problem that was addressed in legislature this year. But other things, like simple things, it just makes sense, right? They changed the standard with which a law enforcement officer can retain someone at the scene of the crime, from reasonable suspicion to probable cause. And we're asking a law enforcement officer, often in a very short period of time, to make a decision: does this reach the threshold for probable cause? Can I detain this person? And then, in addition to that, they restricted the ability to use force to keep someone at the scene. So literally, people can commit a crime and they can walk away, or they can drive away. And that's exactly what happened. The criminals, especially career criminals, understand this. They understand the law completely. They understand that they can now break the law, that there's not sufficient time by the time an officer arrives to say, aha, that person I have reached a level of probable cause, I can stop them. Nope, they can just walk away. And we're seeing it all across the state. And we did address that a little bit, but we kept it at the probable cause. So it's still putting a huge burden on our law enforcement officers, and again, allowing people to walk away. The thing we didn't address is drive away. We refused. We, being the legislature specifically, I'd pin this on the Democratic Senate majority, refused to pass a bill that would allow officers to make a reasonable decision when it makes sense to pursue someone in a vehicle.
That makes no sense at all. Senator Braun, thank you.